Extend Christian greetings to each one gathered here. Thankful to be here and worship with you. Thankful to serve a Father in heaven. He can be my Father. And he can be one that I can serve, and he can be an example to me of how I should be a father here on this earth. Our nation today, maybe alluded to, is such that there's many that do not know their father. There's many broken homes about us. Single parents, raising children. The devastation that happens from that. It's possible for one parent to raise them with the help of God. But there's something that's missing when that happens. June 7 of 2001, the then President of the United States, George W. Bush, made this statement in one of his addresses. Over the past four decades, this is his address, part of it. Over the past four decades, fatherlessness has emerged as one of our greatest social problems. We know that children who grew up in absent father, We know that children who grow up with absent fathers can suffer lasting damage. They are more likely to end up in poverty or drop out of school, become addicted to drugs, have a child out of wedlock, or end up in prison. Fatherlessness is not the only cause of these things, but our nation must recognize it is an important factor. It's a leader of the President of the United States in 2001, his statement, as he was addressing the group of people there, it was a father's place, pushing for fathers. But it is very important. His statement he made is very true. And that our nation should recognize that. But that's out there. What about in here? We as fathers are called to be leaders in our home. God has placed a headship order that is that when you deviate from that headship order, it brings confusion. And it has devastating effects on the family. And so this morning, yes, you're going to have a Father's Day message. We're going to be talking to fathers. But this has something to do for all of us. I think we all can relate to it and pull some truths from it. Again, I want to highlight the statement I made. I'm not saying children can't be raised for God with only one of the husband or wife. I'm not saying children can't be raised for God if the husband or wife is unfaithful. I'm not saying that. I hesitate to use personal illustrations too much, but I'm going to, maybe as I think about that point. My grandmother, Martha Geiser, my grandpa would have ran off with another woman, left her with seven children to raise. Other people stepped in to help the family. There was a point where Grandma was pushed that she needs to maybe put the children out into different homes, Mennonite homes, to help raise them. And she made the decision where they're sticking together. I think I've told you probably before that it's one of the, as I look at my family relationships, I'm amazed at how, in their older years yet, how close that family is to get yet. But other people stepped in to help the family. Men helped those boys that were in those part of those seven to have a father figure. My other grandpa, Grandpa Smith, he drank the money away. That was for raising a family. Hence, my dad and most of his siblings were placed in homes, children's homes, and then later into foster homes. Again, in that situation, other men filling in as a father figure. Hence, that's why we call Harry Noonswander Grandpa. Is it important for us fathers what decisions we make? Is it important how we lead our family? Is it important that we're there? Is it important we're plugged into family life? It is. It's very important. And so you can turn your Bibles to a very well-known account, Matthew 7. This passage I'm going to read is at the conclusion of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. He was there, he was preaching to the multitude, he was sitting on the mountain preaching and teaching the people. And this comes at the end of it. And I just want to use this as our springboard for the message here this morning. Let's start, before we read this song, or read this passage where we're going to read from, let's sing the song that goes with it. It's a children's song. I know we sang some children's song already, but that is, "The wise man built his house upon the rock." All right. The wise man built his house upon the rock. Take those words and apply it. Now let's try to open this up and expound a little more. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." We're going to cease reading there. The ending words of Jesus' address to those people there on that mountain. This account, as I think about this account, Jesus is talking. He said, "Heareth these sayings of mine." Does Jesus talk to us today? We could go back and start at Matthew chapter 5 and we could read it. There's sayings of his. It's full of it. Scripture's full of Jesus' sayings. "Whoso heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them." Do we read God's word? Do we hear God's word? Fathers, today we need to. And so there's the hearing that needs to happen. We need to be listening. We need to be open to it. But there's a difference that happens between these two homes. Because what you hear is like, he likens it to what's underneath, and we know that's the foundation. I did a little bit of concrete work when I was a young man. I don't know if I ever poured concrete on top of sand. We always used rock. We always used stone to set the base. I think about it when we talked the other night about this front porch out here. Why is it pulling away? Is it because the concrete on top's wrong? No, it's the base underneath. It's what's underneath it that fell away. And so it pulled the concrete away. The same is true in this account. That's what he's talking about. The difference is in the foundation. It's whether it's solid like the rock or whether it's in that sand that washes away. The foundations are different in this account. There's some building. Building happens on top of the foundations. What else is the same? Something I see the same in this account. You need to hear or you don't hear. The foundations are different. But what they are the same on is that a house was built. And what else they're the same on is they both received storms. They received rain. They received flood. They received wind. But that's about all. The outcome is totally different. One fell, one stayed standing. And so this morning, as I ponder this message, and Father's Day, us as fathers, building our homes, building our foundation for our homes. We're going to look at what we're building on. We're going to look at these number of things I mentioned a little deeper here. Let's look at the foundation. The difference that between the rock and the sand is what they did with what the Bible says. What Jesus' words were, "Whoso heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them or doesn't do them." That's the difference. It's what they put out from what they heard. The difference seems to be with what they did with what the Bible says. And the same is true for us today. What are we doing with what the Bible says? And I appreciated the Sunday school. But as I was pondering this message too, there's so many times it's easy to throw and not make application to Scripture. And we can say, well, that's, we need a chapter and verse for it. Can we take principles from the Bible and apply it? And sometimes it is tradition that's handed down is good for us. It has served us well in the past. And when we, it's not everything. No, a heart relationship is where we need to be. But you see, it's part of this, whether we're going to build on a rock that stands or whether we're going to be on sand that washes away. And we know the rock is Jesus Christ. We could refer to that. Jesus Christ is our rock that we build on. The world will not carve it away. You can go down to the falls that are around here and you'll see wonderful creations that God has made as water has slowly eroded that rock. But it's still solid there. Are we standing on the rock Jesus Christ today? Or is it on the sand? Now let's just look at these a little bit. What is sand? I already mentioned it's unsafe, it's insecure. If you ever get the chance to stand or be on a beach somewhere and you have the water come in around your feet, you could feel the sand washing away a lot of times. It's very, very unsecure. And so what are some sand foundations that we as fathers, we as people today, can build our lives on? Well, maybe it's pleasures. We can build our lives on pleasures. We're here for a short time. We're going to build on pleasure. Well, it's sand. You're going to run from one pleasure to the next to try to find fulfillment in that. Maybe it's the sand of wanting to be popular, and we go by the popular opinion. That's unsteady because that's here and gone. Maybe it's lust. As we think about marriages, especially today, I believe as I look at our world today, I think a lot of the marriages are built on lust. And it's sand. Why is there devastation in homes today? Why is the father not faithful? Well, the foundation is not good. Let's look at the rock. We say that's solid, that's secure. It'll stand the test of time, and it will. When water pours down through a place, the rock usually stays there. The stones might disappear. I had to think as I was pondering this point, 2018, Lodi Point had that flood. I was amazed as I drove around some and looked at that. You know, those gullies that are down through, they often have little pebbles that sit on the ledges down through. And I just remember it stood out to me that after that flood, you were down to just the big rock. All the little sediment was carried on. Well, that rock is solid, sure, safe. The same is true with Jesus Christ. You build your life on the sayings of Jesus, it'll stand. In your marriages, why is there some in the world that seem to be able to stay together, not get divorced? And I'm not saying that I have the answers for that. But I think sometimes it's because those people take the word, the principles that are in the Word of God. They don't take the Word of God, but they take the principles that were handed to them from generations ago and they say, we need commitment. We need some foundation in our marriage. We need to be able to work together. And they make it work. But you deviate from God's principles, it's going to end in destruction. It will. And so we need to build on that solid rock, Jesus Christ, and his sayings of his that are here for us. Well, let's look at the storm. That was the foundation. Now let's look at the storm. Remember, it says, it doesn't say if the rain, if the flood, if the winds come. It's going to come. It says, and the rain, flood, and winds came. They will come. The reality is we will face troubles. And in our marriages, as you think of relationships, it is so true. It's going to take work. There's going to be trials. There's going to be a working together that needs to happen. And if the Lord blesses you with children, there'll be more trials. They're a blessing. But there's things that need to happen. There's things that you need to teach and instill into your children. The reality is we will face troubles. And the question is, how are you going to face them? Are you grounded in the rock or are you on the sand? Young men, how are you going to face them? How are you going to face the trials if the Lord leads you to marriage? How are you going to face the trials? Or if he doesn't lead you to marriage, how are you going to face the trials of life? No matter if you get married or have children of your own or not, you're going to have trials and you're going to have to decide how you're going to handle them. Yes, you take each trial as it comes, but you prepare ahead of time on what foundation you're building on. Today, you start that. Installing windows, I don't like to install that much in the rain. When it's a rainy day, I go install windows because I have to. I just, it's not a fun time to be out there where you get wet. If you're going to wait to build your house on that rock or I should maybe put it this way, if you're going to try to move your house from the sand to the rock in the midst of that storm, it's not going to work very good. You try to put an anchor on something when it's wet or when it's in the storm, it's not going to happen very good. And I'm not saying that there's not people that have gotten in the storms of life and have moved from the sand to the rock. There has been. But many haven't. Many haven't. You need today be building on that rock. You need to be making sure your foundation is right today before those trials come. When do you like building the best? Well, it's when it's a nice day. When things are going right. And so in our spiritual life, when those trials in the spiritual sense come, to family life, to whatever comes your way, we must have that reservoir of faith that anchors us to that rock beforehand. If we don't have it, there's a good chance we won't be able to find it when it's needed. We need to be ones that prepare for fatherhood today. The influence that comes from fatherhood goes on and on. It's a serious thought. As a father, I think about it, the little bit of Mennonite heritage I have, and I know some of you can look beyond that, but is it going to go on and on, or is it going to stop with me and my family? It depends. That depends on where you're going to build on, which foundation you're going to build on. All right, so the storms of life, specifically to us fathers, just like to ask us this question. Fathers, how are you facing the storms of life? How are you? How's your building standing in the storms? I didn't make a list of storms that can come. But as I look at my own life, I can testify to the times when I felt the house shake. The storms are real. But God has been faithful. There's that rock we can build on. There's that foundation we can have. And it will stand those storms. And so my challenge to you as fathers, and for myself, when those storms come, we have the manual. We have the answers. And in that manual, we have a father that loved us enough to send his son to die for us. Let's think about relationships. Got a message from a friend of mine this morning that just encouraged me. He just a side thought, I don't know what inspired him. Just encouragement to press on and to be a father for my family. And I met this man and his wife at a marriage seminar. And so got me thinking about it, one of the statements that was made at marriage seminar. And that is that one of the best things that a father can do for his family and for his children and for the next generation is to love his wife. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians 5. Because this, as I think about relationships and what I'm going to read to you, it's part of this rock that we can build on to help our relationship in our marriages. It's part of this. It's not sand that you're building on when you do this. It's rock. It's solid, and it will stand the test. But relationships. Ephesians 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Let's go down to verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own body. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. And I'd just like to point out, as you think about relationships and the storms of working through relationships, there's good times and there's times where maybe it's a little tough. And you newly marrieds, maybe you don't experience that yet. Maybe I'm the only one that's even a few years married and have experienced it. But I think relationships take work. And sometimes at the wedding day you say, there'd never be anything I'd not love my wife about. Well, the devil does very well at trying to drive something in there. And you got to come back to the promises and to the truth of the scripture. We are called to love our wise men as our own bodies. I often can find myself wanting to fall short of that. And it hurts relationships. It's like saying, yes, I'm going to build on the rock, but I want a little bit of sand underneath, in between. You know what happens? It gets skaty, gets slippery. So you need to love your wife. You need love for your family if God has blessed you with a family. Or if He hasn't blessed you with a family, you can be a father figure to somebody else. The world is in need of somebody to love them. It's full of them, you young children. Love goes a long ways. Love for your family. What does it look like? Take an interest in them. Take time with them. It doesn't even always have to be a lot of time, but give it quality time. I'll let you try to figure out what quality time means to you and your family. And I'm not even sure for every child that quality time is considered the same. Provide for them. Another way to tell our family we love them. Provide for them. Oh yeah, we do, as Mennonites, we do good at this, right? Maybe sometimes this is easier to do than to put the time into the quality time with them. What about leading them in worship? Family worship. It's another way of saying, we love you. Sing, pray together. Relationships that are built in a family. Yeah, it's fun to go places. There's a lot of memories that go with that. But family worship is probably going to be part of that rock that helps build your family through. We need to have it. It's part of loving your family. Show them a proper concept of what the Father God is. How does God love you? Do I have mistakes that God loves me through, or failures and shortcomings that God has to love me through? He sure does. I sure do. Same is true for our family. Be willing to say no. Did you ever think of no being a word of love? Does God ever tell you no? Sometimes He tells us to wait a while. Sometimes it's a no. But He often... With God, there's often blessings that come later. Can this happen in the home? I know some times when my father said no, and I look back now and I'm thankful for it. Did it feel good at the time? No. No, my dad was being unfair to me. Or was he? Love for your family sometimes says being willing to say no. Well, fatherhood is an awesome responsibility, but can be very meaningful and fulfilling. And may God bless us as we build our homes, as we build our... as we're the fathers we are called to be. I shouldn't probably end on a negative note. I wasn't sure. I put it in my notes, and then I took it out and heard a little bit of, in the Sunday school lesson, was referred to a little bit. But I'd like to just look at 1 Samuel 3 as I think about this saying no. It's kind of a negative account. And I just, probably why I was debating about sharing it, because it stood out to me as something in my own life. These two accounts I have from 1 Samuel, both of them were leaders. Both of them were leaders' children. But this is Eli. In verse 13, for I've told him that Samuel had received that vision from the Lord, and he's receiving it. For I've told him, verse 13, that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth. And this is the part I want. Because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. I don't know how old these men were. Probably a little different in those days than what it is today. But it's okay to say no. Talked with a father on Friday that he was talking about his job and what he does, and he said it's hard to say no. Some of you can probably relate to him. He's all Amish, and he just said, you know, they want him to go. He said at the start I couldn't. I wanted everything to go, and he said, then I said no because my family was young. He said, and then they didn't call back. He said, now they call all the time. And he said, if I tell them no, they call right back again. He said, I have to tell them no again. He said, and I'm just so busy. He said, my wife says I'm never at home. Well, we need to be able to say no. And I know this account is talking about wrongdoing. I know this account is talking about sin that his sons were committing. We need to be able to say no then too. But my challenge for myself was, am I saying no enough to give my son, my time? Now another leader, 1 Samuel 8, verse 3. I'm going to read one verse there. And his sons, this is talking about Samuel when he was old. And his sons walked, made his sons judge over Israel, it says in verse 1, and his sons walked not in his way, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. Here was this man Samuel that did so many great things. He did so much for the nation of Israel, but his children came on and didn't pick it up. May God bless us as fathers. Let's build our houses. Let's build our homes on the rock, Jesus Christ. Yes, He is faithful. He will be there when the storms come. Let's kneel for prayer.